Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, which means, how do we understand the Bible? Now, a lot of people reject the Bible, say, well, it was written by men. All right. How about the books that they read? Who wrote them? Men.
I'm going to be reading from David Quammen's illustrated edition of On the Origin of Species.
Huh. You need to think about that one a little bit, don't you? Now, the ones who wrote the Bible tells us, were holy men moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And they wrote what God wanted them to write and conveyed the message that God wanted. Because there are some people who say, well, I'll believe God if he will speak to me. Really? God has spoken to the whole world through the Bible. And it is his word. That's why there are so many Bibles in the world. Because God won't do anything unless his word has been sent, whether received or whether rejected. Now, in the same notion, people expect that God's love, which they say, is unconditional. So in this number 10 in the series of love that we are covering, we're going to look into the love of God in the prophets. Now the prophets do not show many statements of love in them. Why? Because in love, God sent the prophet to preach a warning to them, and we will see that if they heed the warning, God will show his love to them. Let's come to Malachi, the first chapter. Let's see something here that we need to realize and understand. The love of God comes to us as we love him. You know, love is a two-way street. God made us to receive love, his love and human love, and to give love, our love, to other people, and to love him. And God made us male and female so that there would be the compatibility and love, and bringing forth children in love, and those who keep his commandments show their love for him. Now those who don't receive his love. God's love is not unconditional, that. Regardless of what you do, God loves you. So we'll see that today. There is great expression of love in the Word of God in the prophets. So let's come to Malachi, the last book in the minor prophets, and let's read what God has said here. Now he's talking to the children of Israel, and in spite of the fact that God had loved them, blessed them, gave them many things, they turned their backs on God. All you have to do to understand that is just look around at the world today. Now, verse 2, Malachi 1 says, I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, in what way do you love us? Isn't that interesting? It shows the conundrum that we are looking at, doesn't it? People want the love of God. but they don't want to give it back. Same way in a relationship with anyone that you have that you love. If they don't love you back, then your love really grows a little cold, doesn't it? Yes. Well, likewise with God. Look at the sinners out there who sin, and they wonder where God is. Well, their sins have cut them off from God. Notice what else that God says here in Malachi. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. Now, why did he hate Esau? Because Esau despised, hated, rejected, and sold his birthright. And Esau was a bloody, bloody man. And one of his sons, Amalek, was the worst of the evil of people in the world. Now today we're faced with a Muslim problem, aren't we? And that problem comes from Esau and Ishmael and their modern-day descendants today. Now, there's one good thing, as we will see in a minute, about loving God. But notice what happens when you don't love God. Let's pick it up here in Psalm 5, verse 1. Here's how to approach God. You want God to hear your prayers? Well, you come to Him, as we will see, with a humble heart, humble attitude, and that's the first step in love. Because you're not lifted up in pride. You're not lifted up in ego. You are not a narcissist that the whole world revolves around you. See, because God is creator and the whole world revolves around Him. So David said in his prayer, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation." What are your thoughts on? What consumes your mind and your thoughts every day? Do you have many things come into your mind that crowd out thoughts of God? Do you have music booming through your head to where there's nothing you can think about but that music? Could you say that that is your idol? Could you say that that is your God? Let's ask another question so we can get a proportion from it. How much time then do you spend praying to God? And loving God, and demonstrating that love by keeping His word and His commandments. Think about that. Whatever occupies your mind is your God. Let's read on. Hearken to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto you do I pray. You pray like that, God will hear you. There's even one psalm that starts out, "Help!" Well, sometimes you have to cry out to God that way too, because you're in such difficulty and trouble. Let's read on. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer to you. I will look up. What do you do the first thing in the morning when you get up? Do you take time for prayer? Do you put God first in your life? If you love God, you will put Him first in your life, will you not? Just like anything else you love, whatever it is, that's first and foremost in your life. Here's why there are some people who expect the love of God, but don't receive it. For you are not a God who has pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boasters shall not stand in your sight. How great I am. Think of that. Now, as we covered in one of the segments, How many times did young people give their lives to the things of this world and music and idols and things like this and drugs and sex? And their lives came to an end at a young age. Boasters shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. What is iniquity? Transgression of the law. Planned sin against other people. Verse 6. You shall destroy those who speak lies. If God says he will destroy those who speak in lies, what has happened to our infamous president, Barack Hussein Obama?
You'll be able to keep your health care plan. If you like your plan, you keep your plan.
You like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan.
You like your current insurance, you keep that insurance. Period. End of story.
Today, I want to speak plainly, clearly, honestly. If you already have health care, you don't have to do anything.
Period.
Period.
Period. End of story.
Now, destroy doesn't mean to eliminate, take out life. Can you be destroyed in many other ways? All those who boast, all of their braggadocio, will come back on their heads like a great millstone. Now, they may not die. But can you have your life destroyed without dying? Yes, everything you stand for comes apart. Continuing now, yes, the Lord abhors the bloody and deceitful man. Think about that. Also, all you ministers and preachers and priests, theologians, Bible handlers, you tell the greatest lie every Sunday that God has abolished the Sabbath. Not so. You need to write for our booklet, A Sabbath Sunday Controversy You Have Never Read. A warning from the enemy. God never changed it. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you have the power to eliminate the law of gravity? Well, of course, no one has. Likewise, no one has the power to change the Sabbath, seventh day of the week, Saturday today, to Sunday. All who keep Sunday live lies. Now, they may be considered nice and upstanding people in the community. They may be very sincere, but sincerely deceived. They may do a lot of good works. But you see, if you love God like Jesus said where we first started, Jesus said, if you love me, do you love Jesus? Do you love God the Father? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you? Let's go on. Verse 7. But I and abundance of your loving kindness, because you see, those who love God will receive love back, and that's called loving kindness. I will come into your house. Direct access, as we saw last time, to God the Father in heaven above. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. And then in the next verse, for there is no truth in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Sound like the world we live in today? Yes, indeed. Now then, Let's see what else God says about this so we can understand why God brings these things upon people so that they can change. That's why. Let's come to Ezekiel 33. Let's see what God says. God does not delight in that. God delights in people loving him, he loving them, they keeping his commandments, he granting them their righteousness, blessings of things that they need in their lives because they repent, because they come to him. What do you do with all of these dedicated people, dedicated to evil? Does God delight in their death? No, some people would say so, but he doesn't.
This video of the meeting, posted on jihadi websites, revealed about 100 heavily armed members of AQAP embracing their leader, Nasser al-Waishi. On the tape, Waishi, who is now al-Qaeda's second most powerful figure, renewed his pledge to strike America. Waishi's group has already tried to attack the U.S. with bombs hidden in underwear and computer printers.
Ezekiel 33 and verse 10. And you, son of man, speak to the house of Israel, thus shall you speak. When our transgressions and our sins are upon us and we are wasting away in them, how then shall we live? Does that not describe our country today? All the sins, all the drugs, all the problems, all the difficulties. Are you living in them, or is your life being taken away step by step because you're rejecting God? What does God want you to do? Why do these things come upon us? Well, you can start with many, many things. I'll just summarize it very quickly. Every evil that we saw in Nazi Germany in World War II that God raised us up to destroy and get rid of, we as a nation today are embracing in full bosom all of those evil sins. Let's read on, verse 11. Say to them, so God has a message for all of those. Yet some in the depths of their sin expect the love of God without repentance. Say to them, as I live by the very life of God, who lives eternally forever, who is righteous, there is no sin in him. He has these things come upon people because they transgress his laws, because they say, we don't want God, because they say, we don't want religion. Well, God doesn't want religion either. He wants you converted. As I live, says the Lord, I have no delight in the death of the wicked. God doesn't delight in that. No, he doesn't. But he decreed that the wages of sin is death, because you cannot live forever in evil. And the ultimate goal that God has given us is eternal life. I have no delight in the death of the wicked, except that the wicked turn from his way, repent, and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Okay, now then, let's look at one man, King Ahab, back here in 1 Kings, the 21st chapter. A lot of people say, well, my sin is so bad, God will never forgive me. Yes, he will if you repent. Okay? Now, if you've committed the unpardonable sin, you have totally rejected God. And if you totally reject God, then yes, there is no forgiveness. But if you have pangs of conscience because of your sins, and if the warnings from a loving God through his prophets is able to pierce into your mind and heart, and you repent, he will forgive. Now here in 1 Kings 21, we have the account of Elijah the prophet. one of the greatest prophets of Israel. And God told him to go and pronounce death sentence to King Ahab, because King Ahab was married to the daughter of the priest of Baal. And he was one of the worst kings of Israel. Now Jezebel, the evil wife of King Ahab, worked it out so that a vineyard that Ahab wanted, and that was Naboth's vineyard, she worked it out that he was killed. So she said, "Now you can have your vineyard, Ahab." Well, God sent a message. Verse 19, "And you shall speak to him, saying, Thus says the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession? And you speak to him, saying, Thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours. And Ahab said to Elijah when he came, Have you found me, O my enemy? But isn't that true? Yes. Recently, one of the nation's top newscasters rejected a message from a minister who said that because of our sins, God is judging us. And he said he was an evil man, just like Ahab here. And he answered, that is, Elijah answered, I have found you because you have sold yourself to work evil in the sight of God. Behold, this is what God says, I will bring evil upon you and will utterly sweep you away and will cut off from Ahab him who pisses against the wall, both bond and free in Israel. So then God said, I'm going to make your house absolutely desolate. Then he spoke of Jezebel, verse 23. The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Now, this is a dire warning. Now, I'm bringing this out because do you have sins in your life? You do. Do those sins convict you? Probably. If not, they should. Can you repent of them? Yes, you can. And I'm bringing out the great evil that Ahab did to show you that God does not delight in the death of the wicked, and he wants all to turn to him because he is loving, he is kind, he is forgiving. Verse 24, he who dies of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and he who dies in the field, the birds of the air shall eat. But there was none like Ahab who sold himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all that the Amorites did, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Wow! What a sentence against King Ahab. Now notice what happened when Elijah brought that message to him. Can you do this? Verse 27. And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth and walked softly. Oh, what a total repentance and change of heart. Did that move God? Did that move God to delay this sentence against him? How moved was God when Ahab repented? Well, let's read it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Do you see how Ahab humbles himself before me? Because he humbles himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days. But in his son's days, I will bring the evil upon his house. Ahab turned and repented. Well, what about you? Can you do that? Do you desire the love of God to you? Can you respond to God, the first step into your love to God, by repenting of your sins? He will get rid of them from you, as far as the east is from the west. He will forgive you, but after you pray, after you dry up all the tears in confessing your sins, you must set your course to walk in God's way, because God has given this love to you, because he does not delight in the death of the wicked. He does not delight in all the troubles and problems in your life. But you can recover from them, but you must do like Ahab did. Turn to God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being. Now, if you find your life in trouble, you need our book. We'll send to you at no cost. Lord, what should I do? And you can begin receiving the love of God and begin getting your life straightened around so that God will love you because you love him. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. We have many sermons you can download, many things you can study with the Word of God. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.